The views expressed on the Buckmaster Radio program are not necessarily the views of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, or its sponsors.
Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you, along with my friend Tom Fairbanks. Tom is engineering and producing the show for us. On this Thursday, the 5th of March, 2020, we're broadcasting from the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. We're on 1030, Tucson's voice for trusted news talk. We have our worldwide live listening on my website, buckmastershow.com, and of course, the station has the live stream at kvoi.com. All of our podcasts are available 24/7 at buckmastershow.com. We make it so convenient for you to hear this program on your schedule. Our live line number 790-2040. Every other month we have our conversation with Dr. Gabriel Trujillo. Dr. Trujillo is the superintendent of the largest school district in Southern Arizona, Tucson Unified School District. Dr. Trujillo, how are you, sir?
I'm doing very, very well. Thank you, Bill. It's good to be back.
It's good to have you back with us. Let's begin with the preparations for the coronavirus at Tucson Unified. The good news is that this appears to be not youth-centered, this particular virus. So that's certainly good news, not only for the students, but for their parents, who, of course, worry. Now, what is the plan if we do get a case here in the district?
Well, thanks, Bill. And definitely no softball questions on the Bill Buckmaster show. The coronavirus is commanding all of our attention at this particular point in time. And just a couple of points I want to make. There are a lot of schools and school districts around the nation that are actually voluntarily closing as a preventative measure. That is not going to be Tucson Unified. So when I talk about our plans, these are contingency plans in the event that Pima County Public Health Department declares an outbreak emergency and mandates that all public institutions be closed. And the chances of that, though, are very low. They're not zero. So We have to be prepared. So what we've done is we've assembled an interdepartmental team representing every major operational department of our district, from transportation to food services to maintenance and operations, to our finance team, our human resources, our early childhood team. And they're putting the finishing touches on a comprehensive plan that would be employed in the event of a closure. We're still working out a lot of details of that plan. That plan will be publicly presented on March 25th. But one piece of that plan that's going to be rolled out right now is we are delivering some antibacterial cleaning kits to all the schools that will be inclusive of large quantities of hand sanitizer, sanitary wipes, a very, very high-powered antibacterial all-purpose spray. And we're going to be—
For your cleaning staff?
For our cleaning staff and for our teachers in the building. Mm-hmm. We want to focus on three really high-yield behaviors, okay, at the school sites that we'll be rolling out in the next week. Number one is the frequent wiping down at the classroom level of what we call highly trafficked touch points: door handles, keyboards, doorknobs, any really area inside of the immediate classroom that has the potential for immediate transmission. In the office, we're going to focus on the high frequency wiping down and cleaning of highly trafficked public touch points. Those are our front office doors, our front office doorways, our phones, you know, the phones up in the office, the public computer keyboards that we have, so that we're hitting the classroom. And then, of course, the third behavior we're going to be focusing on is those restrooms and making sure that our custodial staff is frequently wiping down with due diligence frequently from top to bottom all of our restrooms. So we're not waiting for the 25th on that. We're delivering our resource supplies actually this week, over the next few days. We're going to have some training videos, and we're going to be going over this plan at the governing board meeting on March 10th. So we take the coronavirus very, very seriously at the end of the day. It is a virus that is unpredictable at this point. And
it
we
is.
Can talk about, hey, look, that the probability that it's going to hit Pima County is low, but we must prepare the worst.
We really don't know.
And hope for the best.
We're going to know more in a week or so, I think, but who knows. The component of children being served a meal, we're a very, as you know, an area that I think 1 out of 5 residents of our town has some kind of food assistance. And if you close down all your schools, some of these kids are going to miss a meal.
Some of the students would miss a meal.
Yes.
I would imagine that the Pima County Health Department, if it got to the point where we were at a widespread community outbreak and it was DEFCON 5 and they had to close down public gatherings and institutions, our ability to gather kids in a cafeteria would be gone.
Yeah.
So we would have to figure out a meal delivery system, whether that means that we put our buses to work or we put our fleet to work delivering meals. We don't know what that would look like. We don't
know. That'd be out of the box thinking, it has to be on the table.
It's part of our contingency plan. Yeah, I got to tell you what's off the table is kids not eating. That's a non-negotiable.
That is for sure.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yes, so we'll certainly be keeping an eye on that. I do want to bring up this news happened this week that the governing board president for the 2020 calendar year, Crystal Foster, who's one of 3 incumbents now that will not be seeking re-election, Bruce Burke, has decided, Bruce filling in for Dr. Stegeman, who resigned. Bruce has said he's going to not continue on, so that's going to be an open seat. Then you've got Crystal Foster, and then Rachel Sedgwick has said right here, I think first on this program, she would not be seeking re-election. You have 3 incumbents. Then we're going to have a pretty newly constituted board here. 3 of the 5 will be newcomers to the board. Have you met with some of the 9 candidates?
You know, in my role as superintendent, I don't get involved in the candidates' campaigns.
Do you give any advice, though, to them?
If I see them around, you know, I've seen some around, and I just give a general wish you well. And the general advice I always give to the candidates is to be well-versed on all of the district's issues. What we see a lot is what I call single-issue candidates, and that's fine. There's a variety of issues that inspire passion in community members desiring to serve. But for example, if an individual that is running, say, is passionate about facilities, and that's their single issue, that they're going to come in and their focus is facilities, I always try to remind a candidate like that, that's great, but if you get elected, it's not just facilities, but special education is your issue, English language learners are your issue, technology, teacher salaries, gifted and talented. So you have to look at the district as a whole and be well-versed on where the district's strengths and challenges are in its different areas and in the different segments of the student body that we serve.
What would you like to say to Ms. Foster in her final time here on the board?
2 words. Thank you. A lot of people don't understand how much work and time and effort goes into being a really great governing board member. And Crystal Foster has been a great governing board member and continues to be. She works a full-time job and still finds time to keep up with all of her constituent emails. She answers every email. She reads everything for every governing board meeting. She meets with me late into the night, 7-8 o'clock at night, after her work day to be ready for meetings, and takes on a leadership role with the Arizona School Boards Association, which requires frequent travel to Phoenix, frequent travel to Flagstaff. And she has a real heart for this district and a real heart for the students of this district. And we're going to miss her, but she's around and serving as our governing board president for almost another year. So I think that we've got some great work ahead of us, but I want to take this opportunity to thank her for all of her years of service.
People don't get into that work for the pay. I don't believe there is any pay to serve on the board, right?
There is no pay. There is no pay, and there's only criticism. So, and this is something like our governing board, they're so good at it. And it's, you know, you look at a veteran like Mrs. Grijalva has been doing this since 2002. Mr. Burke, this is his second go around. And Ms. Counts, who's very rapidly developing into one of our more seasoned and veteran board members. But I think one of the things that they all agree on, when you look at calls to the audience and the emails they receive, or even the press, nobody says thank you for the things that they do well, okay? Yeah. Look, this is a governing board that approved a budget that now has us at 52.1% classroom spending. Nobody's saying thank you for that, but people are very quick to come to call to the audience and criticize when there's something going wrong or there's a challenge. So not only do you not get any pay, you get no recognition when you make the right calls and do the right things, and you catch all of the grief when situations, a lot of times that are beyond your control, dissatisfy the public.
Yeah, that news came out about Arizona schools putting more funds into the classroom. We'll pick up on that after we take the break, because I think the story that was in the Arizona Daily Star, Howard Fisher does a great job at Capital Media Services. I'm sure he might have been in a hurry and he looked at the number wrong, but he said that the Tucson Unified was putting 51.2% into the classroom. That is not correct.
That's inaccurate. If you look at the website for the Auditor General, we're at 52.1. And what that means for the general public is a percentage is $3.5 million that we didn't get credit for. So we want credit. We are at 52.1, and that is a 10-year high for TUSD. We have not been as high as 52.1% since the 2010 school year when we were at 53.9. So it's been a long road to get here.
So overall, though, you look at the amount of millions of dollars now that that translates into, it's about $6 million, correct?
Absolutely.
When
yeah.
you look at that curve, that timeline.
The biggest commitment that I made when this community trusted me with a position of superintendent is I said, look, we're going to put more money in the classroom.
Yeah.
And when we took over, we were at 48.8% classroom dollar percentage, the amount of our budget going into the classroom. In 17, we upped that to 50.9. In 2018, we upped that to 51.1. And now we're very proudly at 52.1.
All right, we're going to take a break right here, Dr. Trujillo, and you know what's coming next and what I love to talk about every day here on the program. It's something that I think everybody can agree on, Dr. Trujillo, that if you're looking for a beautiful pastry, Mona's Danish Bakery, Dr. Trujillo, and they are the home of the Danish Kringle.
Absolutely.
And my goodness, we've introduced so many of our listeners to the Kringle. We had one of our regulars here on the program, one of our face-off regulars, had not been there, John Munger. He went up there and he said, I want this Kringle Bill Buckmaster's always talking about. And John was served a full Kringle, not just a slice. He thought it was going to be just a small little
wow,
slice of the Kringle. They are big and will certainly can serve 8 to 10 people. So it's not something that you would take unless you're Tom Fairbanks on the other side of the glass there, something that you would take in one particular sitting. Tom, you might be hungry enough to grab more than what would be one portion.
I have been known to be pretty hungry at times.
There you go. Anyway, check out Mona's Danish Bakery, northeast corner, Swan and Sunrise, open right now for lunch. They're also open breakfast every morning at 6:30. Their website, monasdanishbakery.com. Also a link at buckmastershow.com, not only to Mona's, but about 24 partners that we have on this program. Dr. Trujillo, without those partners, we could not do what we do here on the radio, so we're very thankful for that. We'll be right back with Gabriel Trujillo, the superintendent of the TUSD School District, right after this.
Biosphere 2's new ocean tour takes you behind the scenes of the largest experimental ocean in the world, researching solutions for the global coral reef crisis. Other exciting tours include the amazing 30-year history, a family tour for families with kids 10 and under, and the inspiring Under the Glass tour, one of the 50 must-see wonders of the world. Visit UA Biosphere 2 today. Explore the future. Online giving for coral reef research and information about tours and more at biosphere2.org.
Let's say you need an honest roofer. Where do you start? Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona has more than 3,200 accredited businesses ready to help and committed to doing things right. Next time you need a trusted mechanic, plumber, AC company, or florist, go to our website, bbb.org, or call us at 520-888-8888. 6161. Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona. We are here to help you find local companies you can trust.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority and its member jurisdictions have completed more than 850 transportation projects or service improvements across the region to date. The RTA is a state-established political subdivision and taxing district. The RTA's current half-cent sales tax funds the 20-year plan through June 2026. And the RTA is laying the foundation to develop a new plan. To learn more, please visit www.rtanext.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster encouraging you to fly from Tucson International Airport. When you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. A new study shows the Tucson Airport Authority's annual economic impact is $7.4 billion, with almost $1 billion of that from visitors flying into the airport. Fly Tucson, and airlines will respond with more flights, bringing more visitors, benefiting all of us. Type in TUS when you book your next flight and fly Tucson.
Hey, it's Ryan Hansen from Bon Voyage Travel.
And this is Matt Russell from the Buckmaster Show.
Matt, did you hear that Travel and Leisure magazine just ranked the Douro Valley as a top 50 spot for world travel?
Yes, so how about Portugal and Spain for my next culinary and cocktail cruise?
Let's do it on the Douro River aboard the new Amadouro ship from Ama Waterways.
I'll need a chef's table dinner, winery tours, and other private excursions.
Matt, consider it done.
Thanks, Ryan. Portugal and Spain, here we come. Go to bvtravel.com to learn more.
Cushman & Wakefield Picor is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield Picor offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at picor.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's picor.com. Call us at 748-7100. All right, welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. Tom, that's a nice piece of music. I have not heard that for a moment. I thought you were going to break into Procol Harum with Whiter Shade of Pale. There.
No, this is another one of your old standby pieces.
Wow.
Where I picked it up in the middle instead of at the beginning.
Please start doing more of that.
I will do my best.
I like to hear this kind of new, what I consider kind of new bump music.
It has a refreshing sound to it.
It does. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, and I am Bill Buckmaster. We're in the Green Thing Zocalo Village Studios. I am going to do this one of our great sponsors right now, Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. It's only a three-hour drive over to a beautiful area of the southwestern United States. And the good starting place, visit southwestnewmexico.org for the complete list of many ideas about how to recreate. That means have fun. And great places to stay in Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. Dr. Gabriel Trujillo is with me in studio. He is the superintendent of the largest school district in Southern Arizona, and I believe second largest, Dr. Trujillo, in the state. Is Mesa number one or what?
Mesa is number one, and of course Mesa's fallen on some hard times.
Yeah.
So we've certainly been there, and throw no stones.
The auditor report, the auditor general's office report, we were touching on this before the break. What did it say again about funding for the classroom at TUSD?
When you look at the auditor general's report, it is nothing but great news for Tucson Unified, especially given the commitments that we made as an administration 3 years ago. We are at 52.1% of our budget is allocated directly to the classroom. That is a 10-year high. Now, the Arizona Daily Star erroneously reported us at 51.2, and I think they just got the numbers wrong, and I'll be contacting I know their reporter, Danielle Camara.
She does
a wonderful
Danielle.
Job.
She's been on the program.
Yeah, she's great. I think if I just let her know Yeah. They can get this taken care of.
She may even be listening right now.
She might even be listening. But
she's certainly a friend of ours on Facebook, so she knew you were coming on the program.
But I think they'll get that cleaned up. But anyway, that's a 10-year high. You have to actually go back to 2010 when we were at 53.9% to have a percentage that high. When you look at our administrative percentage, we are now at 9%. And you compare that with 3 years ago when our administration first started, we were at 11%.
Oh.
So we have shifted millions of dollars into the classroom and away from administration. Our average teacher salary at $50,276, actually our average teacher salary at $52,441, very, very strong, very, very competitive in the state. So I think that when you look at this classroom dollar report, we see some very, very positive indicators of instruction being the priority here in Tucson Unified.
So the Auditor General also broke down Tucson's nine major school districts by teacher earnings. So you're saying it was, what's your figure there on TUSD teachers?
Well, when you take a look at where we're at with our $301, you know, we're clocking in at just over $53,000.
Okay.
For 2019, when you add in the $6,700 that our teachers get with Prop 301. So that's a very, very competitive average teacher salary.
And for folks who just joined us, you do have, we talked about the plan for coronavirus. Hopefully we won't need to go into that plan at Tucson Unified and at other school districts. What is your school calendar like? We are kind of winding down the school year here. What are some of the, what's coming up on the calendar? You've got spring break, right?
We've got spring break, which we, it's been a tension-filled 3.5 weeks as we've all been watching the news.
Yeah.
First, the news out of Wuhan, and then as it spread to Italy, and then as it started getting
Washington State, then it started
hitting stateside. And as a team, we've just been holding our collective breath to try to limp towards the spring break without some sort of an outbreak. So it looks like that's probably going to happen. Spring break is the week after next, and that's a time when our contingency plan will be finalized and we'll feel a little bit better. We also have something else on our side with regard to a potential outbreak, and that is the Arizona weather.
Yep.
And it will be instantly warming up in the next two or three weeks.
Which is
bad news for the virus.
Yeah.
So we're looking to get to warm season very quickly here, and we're looking to get to a break where our schools will be effectively closed.
This is 1 year that I will be hoping for a very early, you know, I dread those, you know, 100 degree temperatures. But this is 1 year that I would actually not mind an early hot spell. All right. And then school year ends when, Dr. Trujillo?
School year ends May 19th.
Okay.
So we're almost there. You know, we've got a ways to go, but our graduation ceremonies are usually the 19th and the 20th.
It would be nice to, you know, get to that, the break there, because that would also let your cleaning teams and your maintenance teams really do some heavy cleaning during that period when the kids aren't there.
That's what we're going to be focused on. Absolutely.
Right. There was one other item I wanted to bring up on our agenda today. What is this proposed rebirth of the Wakefield Middle School?
Well, we're very proud to be an administration that doesn't close schools. We're an administration that brings schools back to life. And we're proud to bring Wakefield back. Wakefield historically has been one of the iconic middle school communities in the district. And we've already been authorized by our governing board and also by the federal court to reopen Wakefield Middle School. So it's going to reopen as what's known as a lab school, which means that it's going to open with a team teaching approach. We're going to start with sixth grade only. Each classroom will feature two teachers. One will be a master teacher that will be in charge of supervising a teaching intern, and they will work as a team. And the goal is for the teaching intern to learn high-quality instructional strategies from the master teacher. So the master teacher instructs and designs instruction for the students, and they work as a team. And the goal is for the interns eventually to become fully certified teachers that remain in the district. So we're looking forward to working with the University of Arizona and their College of Education will be our partner in this endeavor. So it's a great way to increase teacher capacity in our district while at the same time reopening the storied and the famed Wakefield Knights, the Wakefield Middle School community.
Yeah, it's been kind of an iconic school, and it's been 7 years since it's been shuttered, huh?
It has been.
What did it become, a community center or something?
Wakefield right now serves as a family resource center, and of course it is the home of Higher Ground, one of our outstanding nonprofits that offers before and after school programming and activities for our students, and they also do a lot of socio-emotional health work with students that are at risk for dropping out.
The budget's been revised in a good way, right?
More good news for TUSD. Our 100th day report came back. There are 1,000 more students in the district at this time last year than there were,
wow,
or at this time this year than there were last year, which means instead of cutting money from our budget, we're going to be putting back around $5.5 million later this spring, which means long overdue capital projects, Bill. We're going to be able to get in there and do some work with our buildings and our buses, replace some band uniforms, replace some musical instruments, and really do some of the work that we haven't been able to do because of lack of funding.
All right, Dr. Trujillo, always a pleasure. We'll see you in, this is March. We'll see you in May, or maybe early June. We'll see you soon. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Buckmaster. Have a great day.
Janos Wilder is next, the famed chef.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
Biosphere 2's new ocean tour takes you behind the scenes of the largest experimental ocean in the world, researching solutions for the global coral reef crisis. Other exciting tours include the amazing 30-year history, a family tour for families with kids 10 and under, and the inspiring Under the Glass tour, one of the 50 must-see wonders of the world. Visit UA Biosphere 2 today. Explore the future. Online giving for coral reef research and information about tours and more at biosphere2.org.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year, and if you're over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. And your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local independent nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
This is Moa Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing.
And this is Bill Buckmaster. For several decades now, Moe has been my go-to expert for all my framing needs and bathroom mirrors. I trust Moe for service, professionalism, and top-of-the-line quality.
Thanks, Bill. Give us a call at 795-8226 and stop by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing on the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge, right next to Copenhagen, and on the web at moesgallery.com.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, our Thursday edition. We are in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. Green Things has become a destination in itself. My goodness, 13 acres of amazing plants, trees, and annuals, and more. 50 years already celebrating their 50th anniversary. Green Things, 50 years and still growing. Of course, they're home to Zocalo. For years, Zocalo was over by Country Club in Broadway. Very popular shop over there. They've now moved. They're part of the Green Things family at 3384 East River Road. All that great handmade furniture from Mexico, beautiful Talavera pottery. Check out greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com for more information. With me in studio now is Janos Wilder, the famed chef and owner of Downtown Kitchen and Cocktails in Tucson. Also in Janos' portfolio is the Carriage House. Janos, how are you doing?
Great. How are you, Bill? Great to be here with you.
What do the numbers look like for, you know, tourist season here is January, February. Did you have downtown a good January and February with the gem show and everything else?
Yeah, we sure did. We had a very strong, it began as a very strong season and continues to be. Our numbers were up for February. They were really strong in January, up in February, March is starting out really well for us. So yeah, we're seeing a lot of activity, a lot of tourists in town. Gem Show was, you know, is always just a huge time of the year for us, and I know for my colleagues as well.
We had you on, I think it's been a couple of months since you announced that you will be taking nominations.
Yes.
For let me see if I can get this right, kind of City of Gastronomy Seal of Approval, for want of a better way of looking at local restaurants who would fit into that City of Gastronomy kind of palette. Do we know who has been selected?
We do. Let me kind of give a little background.
Please
because
do.
It is. It's
Please
it, do. It's a certification program. So yes, in many ways, it's the seal of approval
right.
by the Tucson City of Gastronomy. And the guidelines are very consistent with our mission from UNESCO. The mission from UNESCO is to economic development, to explore your cultural and agricultural heritage, to explore your gastronomic heritage, and how do you put that forward into the community? There's issues of social justice, how you pay people. There's a whole slew of things. So we put an application together that was a matrix of a lot of different things. We have 23 restaurants now who are certified Tucson City of Gastronomy restaurants. We had a little over 30 applications.
Okay.
This is our first cohort.
Sure, yeah.
And it's really a great group of restaurants.
Let's start with a few of them. Give us
a few.
Yeah,
sure.
So, are they by category, or how did you do it?
So there's the entire group, and then we separated the group into sort of how they did in a variety of categories. So to sort of illustrate how people had to score.
Okay.
They had to score well in a variety of categories: local sourcing, employee support, reducing food insecurity, using heritage ingredients, serving regional dishes, having sustainable practices, supporting economic development. So the restaurants run the gamut from the Five Points Market and Restaurant on Five Points there. They serve breakfast and lunch. We've got sort of a food truck in Akikon El Nene. Maynard's Market is one. Tito and Pep is another. Tahana Shul Garden one. In South Tucson, we've got Huerto Canelo and Pico de Gallo and Tacos Absan. All of those are winners, as well as Raleigh. So we've got representation all around the city, and with a variety of different types of restaurants, from, you know, more fine dining or upscale restaurants to Aquí Con Nene, to restaurants, taquerias on the south side.
I can take a few more, Janos, time-wise. You want to give us a few more names?
Yeah, sure. So one really interesting one is the Aravaipa Farm Inn, which is at the mouth of Aravaipa Canyon. It's sort of a bed and breakfast, but they also serve meals there. They scored high in almost every single category, and of course, they're getting all their food from their farm.
And again, the venue for that and where they're located?
They're located right at the mouth of the west entrance to Aravaipa Canyon.
Very cool.
Yeah, and so when you go in there, you go in there to stay there and then go hiking into the canyon. It's a beautiful, beautiful space. I've been out there. So the Blue Willow.
Oh, yes.
So the Blue Willow.
An institution.
An institution who scored incredibly well in a lot of areas, but in employee support, they were huge. You know, they're fantastic, the things that they do with their employees. Alberto Canelo is another one. You know, lots of local products that they use, of course, regional dishes as well, and terrific employee support. And that's one of the things that we're looking at are the restaurants paying their staffs well? Are they taking care of their employees? We have restaurants that have 401k plans. We have restaurants who are paying the way for their employees' children to go to college.
So this is a lot more than just what you're serving on
the
plate.
It is. It's a lot more than that.
This is the backstory in many regards.
It is.
It's
how restaurants relate to the community as a whole through the forward-looking piece, through their food, but also through their staffs. And so what kind of sustainable practices do they have? Are they composting? Do they have solar power? Do they have wind power? All sorts of things that in total go to make Tucson a better place to live.
Okay, so where can people find the full list?
Go to our website, TucsonCityOfGastronomy.org. That has the complete list. It also has a list broken down into these compartments. It's really exciting for these restaurants. They can also go to Visit Tucson, because Visit Tucson will be promoting all of these restaurants to the outside world.
Now, will this, Janos Wilder, be an annual deal? Will you be adding restaurants on a yearly basis, or how will that work?
Yes. So each restaurant needs to be recertified on an annual basis, and we'll be opening up the entries in September this year for new restaurants to apply. So we've already gotten word that several of the restaurants who applied last time and didn't receive the certification are going to be reapplying, and we know that new restaurants are going to be coming on board as well.
Will the restaurant be able to put like a sticker or something on the door indicating that they are involved with this?
Yes. We provided each of
them
with
back to my seal of approval.
Yeah,
there you go.
Each of them have a sticker, which is in a sense that seal of approval to put on their door. They'll have it on their websites. They'll have it on their menus. They'll be listing their suppliers, so the local vendors that they use as well.
City of Gastronomy, we were the first in North America. Is that correct?
Yes, that is correct.
Is it true now there is a second, and is that city Austin, Texas?
No, it's San Antonio.
San Antonio.
Close by, a nearby neighbor. And there's also the same. So we were not the first in North America. We were the first in the United States. The same year that we received the designation, Ensenada received that designation as well.
Very cool. Janos Wilder, renowned chef at Downtown Kitchen and Cocktails. Also, you've got the Carriage House, where you're doing special events, and you're doing the cooking school, right?
We've got cooking classes.
How do people find out about, they can get involved with that? I've had a lot of people say, I'd sure like to learn from Janos. How do they go about that?
Go to my website, CarriageHouseTucson.com. There's a listing of all the classes and all of the events. And we have one special event coming up on March 19th as sort of a celebration for our certified restaurants. We're going to have a cocktail competition with 5 of our certified restaurants, and people who come to that will vote on what is this year's Tucson City of Gastronomy Cocktail of the Year.
Wow, you'll have some of the best mixologists in the business.
We will.
Janos, always a pleasure. Thank you.
And, Bill, thank you.
It's good to hear about the list. And again, for folks that want to know about the winners, go to
TucsonCityOfGastronomy.org.
Perfect. Thank you, Janos.
Bill, thank you.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover 2 of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Buckmaster Show listeners know about my love of travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. I know you value your time and money, so it makes sense to fly Tucson with nearly 60 daily nonstop flights to major hub airports. If you're flying to another airport to take a nonstop flight, you're still making a connection and spending 4 hours on the road traveling to that other airport. That's why I fly Tucson and encourage you to do the same. Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com.
The current Regional Transportation Authority plan is funded by a half-cent sales tax, which expires in June 2026. In preparation for developing a new 20-year plan, the RTA Board established a Citizens Advisory Committee to identify priority projects based on public input. RTA member jurisdictions will submit their respective project lists by June 2020 for the CAC to consider for a future plan. To learn more, visit www.rtanext.com.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over 5 buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than 2 decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. We're joined in studio for his monthly visit to our program. He's attorney Don Luce of the Luce Law Group with offices in Tucson and Phoenix. We're just so delighted to have and honored to have Mr. Luce as the Buckmaster Show legal contributor. I'm very proud of the 24 or so regular contributors to this program, including Mr. Luce, who's the author of 2 very popular books. He wrote Arizona Laws 101, a handbook for non-lawyers. I believe, Don, first of all, good to see you, sir.
Good to see you, Bill.
I believe that book came out almost 10 years ago.
Oh, my God, you're right.
Yeah. Hate to remind you that, but since then, the book has gone into a second edition.
Yes, both of my books are in second editions, I'm proud to say.
The estate planning book in Arizona, What You Need to Know, that book fairly recently going into its second printing.
About a year and a half ago. Yes.
And both books doing very well. Lots to talk about, Don Luce, whenever the lawmakers are in Phoenix. We never have a shortage of material to talk with you about on the legal front. One story, Don, that caught my eye, the Arizona House of Representatives has approved barring anyone born male from playing on girls' sports teams. What's that all about?
Right. This is an interesting bill because it in my estimation, has a defect. But before I get to the defect, you're absolutely right. Under this bill, if you're born biologically as a male, then you would be prohibited from participating in sports as a female. And the proponents of this bill say that it's designed essentially to protect Title IX, which refers to the federal civil rights law designed to give women equal opportunities in sports. They say that if you're born biologically as male, then you have an advantage just by reason of the fact that most males are stronger and have larger bone structures than females. So whether you agree with that or not, under this proposal, if you're born biologically male, you don't get to participate in interscholastic or intramural sports as a female. But here's where I think the defect is.
Yeah, what do you think the flaw is in this?
Okay, so who gets to challenge an athlete's gender? All right. And what's the process for the challenge? The legislation doesn't spell that out. Instead, it would give a separate right to sue any student who's deprived of an athletic opportunity or who suffers any harm because of the biological male, because a biological male participated in the sport reserved for girls or women. But exactly who can challenge an athlete's gender isn't spelled out. So does that mean that me as a parent, I can file a lawsuit under this proposal to challenge Sally's gender? And if I do, then isn't that a public record? Mm-hmm. And aren't education records supposed to be kept confidential?
Mm-hmm.
So I think those things need to be ironed out before this proposal goes any further. But again, it's now going to the Senate. It just got passed by the House. So this probably isn't going to be the final version, you know, if it does go any further. But I think that's one of the defects with the proposal.
That the process here, I'm looking at this the bill, and it says it includes a description of a student's, quote, gender story. I guess that would be the age when they became aware of this difference. I don't even know how to put this.
Well,
the gender story.
And do you really want to, okay, so as a matter of public policy, do you really want to get into that with student athletes who, by and large, are minors, you know, under
right.
the age of 18?
Right.
I'm not sure. And if you do, then how do you keep that information confidential, especially given the mandate that student records be kept confidential? So there are some issues surrounding this proposal that are problematic, and I think they need to be looked at before this goes any further. And if it becomes law, then those are the issues that are going to have to be resolved.
For years, it's been talked about that Arizona should have an elected lieutenant governor. We don't now. We have an elected secretary of state who in the chain of command is really kind of a de facto Don Luce lieutenant governor.
Well, in Arizona, unlike other states that have lieutenant governors, if our governor dies, resigns, is recalled, is impeached, is convicted, then the Secretary of State takes over.
But which has happened in not that far in the past.
In the last 20 years or so, it's happened twice.
Yeah.
In 1988, Governor Meekum mm-hmm. was impeached and convicted.
Yes.
And removed from office. And right. Rose Mofford, a Democrat, stepped in to take the governorship. In 2009, Janet Napolitano quit to mm-hmm. take a job in the Obama administration, and Republican Jan Brewer took her place.
Right,
so
right.
those are two examples of where the Secretary of State was affiliated with a different political party than the governor, but because the governor left office, in one case involuntarily, and in the other case voluntarily, the Secretary of State took over to serve the remainder of the term. Other states have a lieutenant governor system already in place. And what that looks like is each party's gubernatorial candidate picks a lieutenant governor. So you have two people on the same ticket running for governor and lieutenant governor. If the governor is removed or leaves office for any reason, then the lieutenant governor, who is of the same party, would then take over. We haven't had that in Arizona at any time. And in fact, this isn't a new idea. In 1994 and in 2010, voters both times rejected the idea of having a lieutenant governor. Now, interestingly, some of the reasons given in the past had to do with the fact that, look, lieutenant governor doesn't have anything to do, and yet we're paying this person to serve in this official capacity. I suppose, although maybe the analogy isn't a great one, but like the vice president of the United States, you know, there's a person, in the on-deck circle. So
right. In waiting.
In waiting.
Yeah.
Under this proposal that is currently in the House, and it's a House Concurrent Resolution 2020, that wouldn't be the case. The lieutenant governor would also serve as the director of the State Department of Administration. So there would be a job for the lieutenant governor to do in addition to being the backup for the governor if for some reason the governor left office.
Representative Randy Freese, who we've had numerous times on this program, he is the assistant minority leader, said when people elect someone as governor, they also are voting for that person's political vision, Don Luce.
Well, and I think that's the strongest argument for having a lieutenant governor as opposed to picking the successor from another office, which may or may not be the same political party affiliation. And interestingly, this proposal appears to have bipartisan support. So unlike a lot of things that are happening in our political climate currently, I think that both parties are sort of in favor of this, and it's probably going to be on the November ballot for the voters to ultimately decide.
And again, this would be then, if it is on the ballot in November, Don Luce, this would be the third time that it has gone on the ballot.
Could right? be third yeah. time's a charm, right?
Voters rejected the lieutenant governor idea in 1994 and again in 2010. And I remember both of those campaigns. And I think that people just decided during those years that they just didn't see this extra layer of bureaucracy that was needed. I believe that was the case.
I think they thought of adding lieutenant governor as adding another executive officer that we don't have and maybe we don't really need.
Yep, I think that is the case. All right, Don, I do want to talk again about your two books. Where are they available? Arizona Laws 101, A Handbook for Non-Lawyers, and Estate Planning in Arizona, What You Need to Know. Where can people obtain these books?
The best place is Amazon.com. Both books are, as you mentioned earlier, in second printings, and I believe that both are fairly current and accurately reflect in material terms Arizona law.
Was there a major change in estate planning that you're very proud that was included in this with the second printing?
There was
several.
I'll tell you the one that I'm the proudest of, and I can't take any credit for it, is a good friend of mine said, "Hey, I love your book, but I'm administering my mother's trust estate, and it would be helpful if I had a checklist."
Yes.
And so what I added was a trust administration checklist, and the second edition has it in the appendix.
Okay, Don Luce, thank you very much of Luce Law Group with offices in Tucson and Phoenix. On behalf of Mr. Luce and Tom Fairbanks, our fine engineer producer, I'm Bill Buckmaster. Dave Ramsey's very popular show about your money and how to handle your money. How to handle it the right way, I guess. That's a popular program that follows our show. Have a great afternoon, everybody.